It is a big pulpit. I hope you can see my head. We talked about Moses in the first session, and we learned quite a bit of things about him. And Jean was telling us for 40 years he was in Egypt, and then he was 40 years in the wilderness. And if we think about it, he started his ministry when he was 80 years old. Now, the children of Israel journeyed from the Red Sea, and then they came to a place where God told them, you need to stay here for a little while. And he told Moses, you come up the mountain, I need to talk to you. So Moses, we read in Exodus 24, verse 18, that Moses climbed up the mountain, and he stayed there with the Lord for 40 days. Now, when we read on, we find that Moses had to climb this mountain several times. God let him go down and then come up again and sent him down again, and the man was 80 years old. I wonder how long it took him to get up there. Now, this particular time, we will ask ourselves, what did Moses do for 40 days up there? Well, the first thing he did was wait, because God didn't appear right away to him. He had to wait. I think he waited at least 6 days or so. And then God began to speak to him. And what happened during that time was that God told him, I want the children of Israel to build a tabernacle. And then God goes in elaborate explanation, and he gives the pattern how they're supposed to do it. And he says to Moses, you need to start with fundraising. This does that sound familiar? Building project. So he tells him how to do the fundraising part. The people need to bring offerings and all that. And then God goes into very, very detailed instruction for the Ark of the Covenant they're supposed to make, and the curtains, and the table for the showbread, and the boards, and sockets, and clasps, and the little pins, and veil for the tabernacle, and the altar, and the anointing oil, and it goes on and on. No wonder Moses needed 40 days, because God went into detail of detail. You know, I was wondering when I read that, you know, why is God so concerned? You know, he's concerned this has to be that long and that wide, and when you make a rim on it, it has to have this kind of decoration on it. And God goes into extreme details and says to Moses, you need to do this. And then, of course, he goes on with the garments of the priests, and then he says, and there are some skilled workmen, and he lists the names and others, and God goes on and on. In the end, he gives him the Ten Commandments also and sends him down. Now, when God gave Moses these explanations about the tabernacle, he says something very important to him. And we read that in verse 8 and 9, God said, and let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Now God said, you must make it exactly as the pattern you saw on the mountain. And then God called some of the craftsmen by name. And he tells you need to employ these few guys and then over there some others that are skilled, and then he tells him, and you can read that over and over, God says, make sure they make it all in accordance how I showed you this pattern. And then we read in chapter 35 that all the skilled women were spinning with their hands and the skilled workmen were making the things. Now, when we hear what God is so concerned about, that the tiny details is right, we can ask ourselves why he didn't allow them any artistic freedom. You know, when you have a skilled craftsman, a craftsman becomes a craftsman because of his inspiration. You know, all the ideas he has, and he makes all these things so wonderful and different than everybody else. An artist, if you try to put him in a box, he will not do very well. They want to have some freedom to invent something. That's what makes them great. And yet God says, call all these skilled people and tell them to make it exactly as the pattern. Follow the instructions. Now, if God says that to me, that's different, you know. I'm not a painter. And, you know, he can, when I go to the store, you can buy these things paint by number, you know. You take red and you do, this dot has to be like this. This would be for us, but for this craftsman, it confines them. It doesn't help them. They have so many ideas they want to do, but amazingly, we find that this craftsman obeyed. And they laid aside their own bright ideas, and they followed God's instruction instead. And then everything in the end turned out exactly what God had commanded. Now, this is a very rare occasion when the children of Israel did something exactly right. Most of the time, they run off and do their own thing, and then they come back and repent, and Moses has to punish them, and God is mad at them. But this one time, they followed the pattern that was given to them. Now, Moses inspected their work. We read that in Exodus 39, verse 43. Now, Moses was the only one who had seen the pattern, and I imagine he had a checklist. And after they finished everything, they laid it all out, and then they called Moses. And Moses went with his checklist. He was comparing everything, what he saw. Okay, this is half an inch, and he was measuring everything, and he was looking that all the decorations were right. In verse 43, it said, and Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. They had done. Now, what was the result of they followed exactly the pattern that God gave to Moses? The first thing that followed as a result was blessing. Exodus 39, verse 43, it says, so Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. So the first thing, after they followed the pattern exactly, they received blessing. And then the second thing that followed, they put all these pieces together and erected the tabernacle. And then the second thing was that God's glory and God's presence came, which was God's approval of them following the pattern. God's glory and presence came and filled the tent of meeting. You read that in Exodus 40, verse 34. And the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then there was a third thing that happened. God's presence stayed with them throughout their journey. In verse 38, it says, "For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel." You know, when they had any kind of problem and they looked to the tabernacle, they could see God is with us. It gave them confidence that they had a visible presence of God with them. They knew He watches over us. If an enemy attacks us, He will be our defender. He is right there among us. We are not alone. If we are sick, He will heal us because He is right there. If we have questions, Moses can go and ask answers. He's right there. If there are some storms in the desert or anything, He's right there with us. He will protect us. If we don't know where to go, we just have to look at the tabernacle. See, these things were the direct blessings and consequences and results of them following the pattern that was showed to Moses. God, they were blessed, God's presence filled the tabernacle, and God stayed with them. And then we read that it gave them guidance, literally, throughout their journey. Whenever the cloud was on the tabernacle, they stayed. They didn't head out for going somewhere. And when the cloud was taken up, then they traveled. All this was the direct result of them following exactly God's pattern. Now, maybe we can ask ourselves the question, why did God want them to follow His pattern? Why was it so important to God? Did God want to teach them total obedience and submission? I think He wanted to teach them that. Did He want to teach them admitting that God, after all, knows best? I think He wanted to teach this also. And then, did He want to teach them, this is how you get blessed if you stay with what I show you? I think He wanted to teach them that. But then there was one other purpose, and that was actually a greater purpose. See, all the things they made were shadows and pictures of the things to come in the future. The tabernacle, the furniture, the utensils were not just service objects for their sacrifices and for their worship. They were teaching tools. They were shadows of the real thing. They were physical pictures of spiritual truth. God wanted to teach them through these tools about relationship with God. He wanted to teach them what is holiness. What does it take to atone for sin? Blood sacrifices. He wanted to teach them many things that we read in the New Testament. Many of these things are even pictures about the Lord Jesus. It taught them about salvation, about forgiveness, about what is clean, what is unclean. It taught them about worship. See, these things they had to make their teaching schools for nursery school. You know, I got 3 grandchildren, and Jean has more than I. So far, I have 3, and they all 3 are under 2 years and younger. And 2 of them are 2, and they are just now learning. A is for apple, and B is for box, and C is for cookies, and the ABCs. And you know, their moms have these cards, these flash cards, and they show A is for, and then my grandchild will say apple, and B is for box, like this. And this is exactly what God was doing with these children of Israel. He said, make it according to my pattern so I can teach you spiritual truth. And when God holds up the card, they will understand what it means. He will say, this is holiness. And then they will have a physical picture for a spiritual truth. Now, let's ask ourselves, what would have happened to them if they had followed their own bright ideas and had all this artistic liberty? When they were making the tabernacle, you know, then A is no more for apple and B is no more for box. They would have messed up all the picture, all the teaching tools, and they couldn't have learned any spiritual lessons. Now, we need to think, what are we supposed to learn from all this? You know, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now that's us. So, what they did there, building this tabernacle, was for our instruction, so that we may learn something from it. Now, each time you read scripture in your personal devotion, or you hear someone preaching, you supposed to learn something. And you supposed to ask the questions, what is that instruction for me? What am I supposed to learn? Because all of it was written for our instruction. So now, what is the thing we supposed to learn that they followed exactly the pattern that God showed them? And I think the answer is, we supposed to learn, when it comes to our Christian life and to building God's kingdom, we cannot follow our own ideas. We cannot take freedom and liberty and artistic freedom. You know, every generation that is growing up wants to invent new ways of how to live, new ways about morality, new ways about marriage, new ways about education, new ways about a lot of things. So what does that mean as believers? Can we pick and choose from God's word what we like? Can we leave out instructions that don't make sense to us because we are modern 21st century people? Can we mix God's instruction and our own ideas together? Dear sisters, when it comes to our Christian life, we cannot take any artistic liberty. We need to stay with the pattern God has taught us in His Word, and we need to follow it exactly, the instructions that God has given us. You know, some may say, well, isn't that legalism and narrow-mindedness? No, it is wisdom. It is God's wisdom. And it works. If we want the biblical results in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our ministry, we have to go what we are instructed by God's word. We have to obey with the instructions God has put in writing for us. Now, some of us are very creative people, and we may say, following instruction is not my strength. I don't know. You know, sometimes you can buy some things at the store and you're supposed to assemble it yourself at home. And you open the box and there is a huge sheet, and it tells you, do this, do this, do this. And there are people, they don't like to read this. They they dump out all the screws and all the different things, and then they try to put together. And if it doesn't work, and if they have 10 screws left over, then they are looking at the instruction. I remember when my daughter was, I think she was 7 years old, she wanted a strawberry shortcake bicycle. And so I bought one, but it came in a box. I never had put a bicycle together in my life, and my husband wasn't at home. And so the night before her birthday, I think I was up most of the night trying to figure out where these screws go. In the end, I made it. But if there would have been 10 screws left over, I would have been scared to death for my daughter to go on that bicycle. Dear sisters, this is the same. God gives us instruction in His Word for our life, for our marriage, for everything we're supposed to do on earth. If we take liberty and we just throw something together and hope it will work, it's a dangerous thing you are doing. It will not work. And think about it. The way God has given us the pattern and the way we're supposed to follow our instructions, think about, if you don't follow God's instruction in His Word, what about your children? Your children, they model their life according to what they see in you. If you don't follow God's instructions, if you take liberty, they also will take liberty. If you think you can mix your bright ideas with God's ideas for life and for walking with God, your children will copy what you do. And I can tell you, it won't work. It won't work. God will always honor His work, His word. He will not honor our bright ideas. Did you ever realize that? God will honor His word, not our ideas. He will honor it with blessing us, with His presence and glory to be with us. and with that we see his promises being fulfilled in our lives if we stay with the pattern he has given us. Now, I don't think I know any of you, maybe just one or two. So you have to think about your own life. Are there any areas where things don't work in your life? Maybe in your family life, where things don't work in your marriage, where things don't work in your ministry, where you don't get any biblical results. Are there any areas? You know, many times we weep and we mourn and we go for counseling and all, which is not a bad thing, but instead of weeping and complaining, we need to check if we followed the pattern, the instructions in God's word. We need to take time to find out, where did I take liberty? Where did I put my own ideas? Where did I incorporate my own wisdom? And then when you discover where it was, then change it. Give up your own ideas. Obey what God's word says. Follow the pattern that you have received in writing from the living God. Now, is God so narrow-minded that we cannot use any ideas in our life? He has given us so much creativity. Are there any areas where we can use our God-given creativity? There are many areas. You know, God doesn't tell you how you're supposed to paint your house. You know, you can go home this afternoon and you can paint it green or yellow, purple, pink, anything. Or he didn't tell you how you're supposed to sing a song. You can sing a song a thousand ways. And if you have the skills, you can design your own furniture and how you want to decorate your living room. God has given you all the liberty for these kind of things. But, dear sisters, when it comes to our Christian life, and when it comes to building God's kingdom, we are not given the freedom by God to follow our own ideas, because God knows they will not work. So my exhortation to you is, look in God's word, study carefully, and do it just like Moses. Compare everything and go through the checklist, see if you have followed God's pattern. And if you have, God's blessing will be on your life. God's presence will be with you, and God's guidance will be with you. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much that the pattern is so simple in your word, so easy. You spelled it all out and you gave it to us in writing. Lord, I pray that you help us to be diligent to abide by the pattern that you have given to us. And thank you that you help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.